Welcome to Nightlights. I'm David Brent Johnson. Marion McPartland was a pianist, writer, educator, and radio host whose improvisatory talents and musical empathy made her one of the most engaging and enlightening jazz artists of her time. In the next hour, I'll be featuring some of her recordings with a special emphasis on her own compositions, as well as excerpts from a 1975 interview in which she talks about her life and artistic journey. It's One for Marion, coming up on this edition of Nightlights. Thank you. pianist Marion McPartlin performing her composition Threnody with an arrangement by Alan Broadbent that comes from McPartlin's 1997 orchestral outing and Concord CD, Silent Pool, and it was written as a tribute to McPartlin's friend and jazz colleague, Mary Lou Williams. David Brent Johnson here with you on Nightlights, and this time around on the program, I'm paying tribute to pianist, writer, jazz educator, and composer Marion McPartlin, born March 20th, 1918, who became known to listeners around the world as a performer and as the host of one of public radio's longest-running programs, Piano Jazz. Marion McPartlin, in so many ways, embodied the best of what jazz has to offer. She was a complex and original musician, steeped in the history of the music and yet endlessly modern, an unassuming pioneer for women in jazz who started her own record label and an open, always searching artist. In a 2010 Downbeat article, she wrote, "Don't sit back and say, now I've done it all, because you never have." And through her recordings and her hundreds of piano jazz programs, she personified something that Thelonious Monk once said, that jazz can bring true friendship. In 1975, she told WFIU radio host Dick Bishop how she got into jazz.
Well, I don't know, Dick, it's hard to explain this in a few sentences because it's pretty strange to me, actually, and it always mystified my family. But the fact is that I did learn to play at the age of about 3 from hearing my mother play. And I played by ear because they thought I had a nice little talent and I didn't need any lessons. I actually was one of those children that asked to have lessons. And my mother said, no, dear, I think you should learn the violin because you have violin fingers. And I've never really found out what violin fingers are. Now I have dishpan hands, but I still play piano. But anyway, I got into listening to jazz because I just listened to everything on the radio. There was no TV in those days, and I'm rather glad there wasn't. And I listened to everything, whatever was on the radio, whether it was Bing Crosby singing the latest hit of the day or Viennese waltzes or whatever. I played the lot, you know. And then when I became a teenager, a boyfriend of my sister's came over the house and brought some jazz records, and she wasn't too interested, and I got very interested because he had records by Duke Ellington, and I think he had Bix's In a Mist. Mm-hmm. I think I had that on a 78. And one of the things I remember most vividly of all was a record of Muggsy and Sidney Bechet playing Dinah with the verse, and I've always loved that thing. I used to play it over and over and over again. And, well, I could just ramble on, but that's basically how I got started, because then after I heard Duke, I was hooked. And I don't know why, I don't know anything about the reasons why I did what I did, but I just wanted to play.
Thank you.
Mary McPartland performing Duke Ellington's Warm Valley from her 1996 CD Live at Yoshi's with Bill Douglas on bass and Glenn Davis on drums. In addition to her love of Duke Ellington, Mary McPartland talked to Dick Bishop about how her World War II experiences and her marriage to cornetist Jimmy McPartland influenced her and led to the formation of her first working trio.
What started me playing a better brand of music was after I joined USO and went to France and started listening to all these V-discs that they had lying around all over the place. And of course the GIs didn't know what they had. I mean, there'd be these fantastic records lying around everywhere waiting to be played. There would be Stan Kenton, Art Tatum. There was a trio I haven't heard of since called the Lou Mel Morgan Trio, and Nat King Cole, and you name it, all these records, Benny Goodman, all these records made for the armed forces overseas. And as I think of it, probably appreciated by a very few. And so I did a lot of my listening there, and then of course started playing with Jimmy. And then Jimmy and I got married and I came over here. And up to that time I really was sort of playing more in his style. And of course that put the capper on the family. You know, that was the real final blot on the family escutcheon. You know, first of all, I had worked in vaudeville in England. I joined a four-piano act and worked in vaudeville, which I'm very proud of, incidentally. I worked in all the good vaudeville theatres all over England, and some of them really quite historic. And but then, of course, to go to America and marry an American musician, a jazz trumpet player, oh, it was unthinkable, but I did it. And my mother says, oh, you'll come to no good. You'll marry a musician and live in an attic. And of course, I did that, but not forever. And Jimmy was always my best booster because he used to say to me, oh, you ought to have your own group and you're developing your own style. And Jimmy has always been my best booster and a kind of an admirer of what I do, while at the same time tempering it with judicious criticisms at times. He's really been great that way.
pianist Marion McPartlin performing The Lady is a Tramp live in 1953 at the Hickory House in New York City with her trio, Vinnie Burke on bass and Joe Morello on drums. Marion McPartlin was an active performer for almost all of her life and a radio host from the early 1960s on, when she started her first jazz program on New York City's WBAI station. I'm putting a special emphasis on Marion McPartlin as composer for this edition of Nightlights. In 1975, WFIU jazz radio host Dick Bishop talked with Marion McPartlin about her compositions and how they came about.
Let's talk about an area that has always fascinated me with regard to you. Marion McPartlin, the composer.
Oh.
You've composed so many marvelous things, including, of course, the theme of Afterglow, and we're so proud that we're able to use that theme, that it exists in jazz literature. But what goes through your mind before you put something down on paper? Do you follow a fairly methodical process? Do you think, get up in the morning and think, well, I think I'm going to, you know, knock out a couple of things today? Or what circumstances are evident when you finally evolve a composition?
It's funny, that Blossom Dearie does that. She tells me she gets up and, you know, every day she sits down and starts to compose, and she has a really rigid routine. I wish I could do that. I don't. In fact, I haven't written anything for quite a while. I think I'll probably get a few more things going this year because I'm doing some school dates, and I always get more creative when I'm working in a college. That's where I wrote Ambience, was at Oklahoma, working there with Phil Wilson and John LaPorta and people like that. And that was one tune that just fell together like pieces of a puzzle. It was amazing. I just can't explain it, but I just sat down to write something one afternoon, and I was taking Phil Wilson's orchestral class, and I had to have something prepared, and this tune sort of started going through my head. And though I do say so myself, it is a well-put-together tune. But Afterglow is a whole other kettle of fish. I was at a concert with Alec Wilder, and I saw somebody that used to be very dear and close to me years ago. And it was just too much for me, and I went home and thought about it, and I just sat down and started composing a dummy lyric, which I often do to get a tune started. And that's another tune that just fell together. It was Afterglow.
Thank you.
pianist Marion McPartlin performing her compositions Ambience from the 1997 CD Silent Pool, and before that, In the Days of Our Love, originally known as Afterglow. That comes from McPartlin's 1993 CD In My Life. I'll have more of Marion McPartlin's music and her conversation with WFIU Jazz host Dick Bishop in just a few moments. You can listen to many previous Nightlights programs and view playlists on our website at indianapublicmedia.org/nightlights. Support comes from Landlocked Music, offering new and used music LPs, CDs, DVDs, and turntables. Located at 202 North Walnut in Bloomington or online at landlockedmusic.com. And from the Laughing Planet Cafe, serving veggie burgers, salads, and burritos for lunch and dinner. Outdoor seating available at the corner of Kirkwood and Grant. The Laughing Planet Cafe, online at thelaughingplanetcafe.com. I'm David Brent Johnson, and you're listening to One from Marion on Nightlights. I'm featuring music from Marion McPartlin on this edition of Nightlights, as well as excerpts from a 1975 interview that she did with WFIU Jazz host Dick Bishop. And I'm highlighting some of the compositions written by McPartlin herself throughout her career. Here's more of her conversation with Dick Bishop, in which he asked her what some of her favorites were among her own pieces.
For some reason or other, I don't play as many of the tunes that I wrote as I should. You're just making me think I'd better get a piece of manuscript paper and knock off a couple for the group here at Rick's. I haven't played one except Ambience, and I have a tune that I'm rather happy with because Johnny Mercer did the lyric.
Twilight
World, yeah.
Lovely tune.
And that one we could certainly play on the job here. And then I have another one, Time and Time Again. It's funny, I guess because I haven't pushed or driven or worked hard enough at it. Cy Coleman always used to be castigating me for not writing or not doing the right things with my writing, or who knows what the right thing is. I was always badly disappointed by publishers who always said the tune was too rangy or too far out or too this or too that. So again, I wound up having my own publishing company and just having the tune sit there, and through the good offices of John Bunch, Tony Bennett recorded Twilight World. And if Johnny had lived, I'm sure we would have done more things together.
Thank you.
Marion McPartland doing two of her tunes time and time again from her 1997 release Silent Pool, with Alan Broadbent providing the arrangement, and before that Twilight World from the 1991 CD Live at Maybeck Recital Hall. Through her program Piano Jazz, Marion McPartland helped introduce or enhance the experience of listening to jazz to a vast radio audience. But her journey as a jazz educator began back in the 1950s. In 1975, she talked with Dick Bishop about her first foray into what then seemed like a strange vocation.
It didn't start out as jazz in the classroom. It started out doing a school concert in Rochester, and I was aided and abetted, rather I was pushed into this by a disc jockey there named Will Moyle, who you may know in Rochester. And this was in 1956, and I said, "Oh, kids in school don't want to hear what we're doing." And I was quite frightened about it. And he says, "Oh, I want you to do it. I think it'd be good for them. They should hear you." So I had Joe Morello and I had a bass player named Bill Brito. And it was really funny because this was really the first thing that I ever did, and we got stuck in the mud. It was a bad day, and Joe was in another car. And he got out there and started demonstrating drum licks to the kids, who were fascinated. And finally I got out there, and we played, and I didn't know what to do. I did all the things we did in the club, like stomping at the Savoy. I'm thinking, what the hell are you going to play for junior high school kids? And they appeared to like it to such an extent that Will told me that the principal said to one of the teachers, one of the kids called out. I said, "What would you like to hear? What would you like to hear?" So at that time, Elvis Presley was very popular. So one kid shouted out, "You ain't nothing but a hound dog." So that was one request that I had, to much mirth from the three of us. You know, Will Moyle, he was so embarrassed for me, and I could care less. I thought it was funny. So then another kid piped up Lullaby of Birdland. So the minute he heard that, the school principal decided there must be somebody very hip in the school, and he'd better go down and check the boiler room to see if anybody was down there smoking pot, so, which I think is hilarious. So that was how I got started, and finding the kids very receptive and thinking how ridiculous it was that they weren't hearing Duke Ellington and Basie every day instead of Chubby Checker and the people they were listening to. So it became a sort of crusade to go and play. Thank you.
Marion McPartlin performing her composition Willow Creek from her 1985 album Willow Creek and Other Ballads. At the beginning of 2010, Marion McPartlin received one of the highest honors that her native country of the United Kingdom can bestow upon somebody, the Order of the British Empire. It was an acknowledgement of the impact that her jazz artistry and educational efforts had had around the world. But as she told Dick Bishop in 1975, her career path was neither easy nor expected for a girl growing up in 1930s and 40s Britain.
What would have been your, I suppose, your alternate career? In other words, before you had an abiding interest in jazz, what did you want to be?
I shudder to think. I didn't know what I wanted to be. I didn't know anything. I was one of those. Some of my school friends tell me their lives were not like that, but it seems to me the average British child comes from a rather strict home. You know, you're told what you're going to do and what you're going to be and what you are. My mother used to say, you're pig-headed, just like your father, you know, so... but she never did tell me I was going to be a musician. You know, what they hoped I would be, I guess, was either I would meet some nice, respectable man that had enough money to keep me fairly decently, and that I would have children and lead a prosaic, uneventful life, or if I had to have a career, that it would be something proper, working in a bank. Or my father wanted me to be a nurse, and of all the ridiculous things. In fact, when he found out that I really was going to become a professional musician, or had in fact been offered a job as one, he tried to bribe me. He offered me the equivalent of about $2,000 if I'd give up the idea. And I thought he was crazy, and I just sort of mumbled, no, I don't think I want to do that, and of course didn't.
Marion McPartland performing her composition Silent Pool from the 1996 CD Live at Yoshi's Night Spot with Bill Douglas on bass and Glenn Davis on drums. Marion McPartland died at the age of 95 on August 20th, 2013. She spent her life doing what she loved, and in so doing, brought that love of music to countless others around the globe. I'll close out this edition of Nightlights with a 1998 recording that she dedicated to her husband, Jimmy, whom she remarried shortly before his death in 1991. Marion McPartland and When the Saints Go Marching In on Nightlights. I close with Marion McPartland performing When the Saints Go Marching In as a tribute to her departed husband Jimmy McPartland from her 1998 CD Just Friends. Thanks for tuning in this edition of Nightlights. You can listen to many previous Nightlights programs on our website at indianapublicmedia.org/nightlights. Support comes from Landlocked Music, offering new and used music LPs, CDs, DVDs, and turntables, located at 202 North Walnut in Bloomington or online at landlockedmusic.com. And from the Laughing Planet Cafe, serving veggie burgers, salads, and burritos for lunch and dinner. Outdoor seating available at the corner of Kirkwood and Grant, the Laughing Planet Cafe, online at thelaughingplanetcafe.com. Nightlights is a production of WFIU and part of the educational mission of Indiana University. I'm David Brent Johnson, wishing you good listening for the week ahead.